welcome to Haunt Weekly.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we are back at Haunt Weekly headquarters, the Haunt Weekly Tower, if you will, in downtown New Orleans. Okay, I might be making this part up.
You might.
Tower. I'm making up a lot of stuff. But we've returned from HauntCon is the point I'm trying to get to. We are back.
It was really far away from us this year.
Oh, God.
Such a drive.
Such a long drive. We drove for like 18, 20 minutes to get there.
Yeah.
It cost us $15 a day in parking.
Yeah.
Actually, that part's true.
Yeah.
But yes, we have returned from right across the river from where Haunt Weekly headquarters really is.
Yes.
To go to HauntCon. And I gotta say, we had a great time. And what we're going to do today is basically cover our experiences, what we saw, what we did.
Yeah.
And talk about a lot of neat things. I think we had a great time. You know, and there's a lot to go over. I'm pulling over the education schedule now so I can remember everything that we discussed and learned. And there is a lot of great information that was imparted upon us. So, yeah, this is going to be a busy episode.
Right.
But on that note, we do have some housekeeping reminders for you. First and foremost, if you have not done so already, please take a moment to follow us on Twitter and Facebook. We are Haunt Weekly on both, one word. Should be pretty trivial to find us, or just search for us on Facebook at Haunt Space Weekly. But, you know, it's like facebook.com/hauntweekly is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Okay. And also, tinyurl.com/hauntweekly will take you to our YouTube channel, where you can follow us on the YouTubes.
Yay.
And we are there and available 365 days out of the year. All of the episodes are there and ready for you. So definitely take time to follow us there. But yes, also, still going on.
It'll be ending soon.
Ending soon. Help us get $200 for Wing Dream. We're almost there. Actually pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Well past halfway. Wing Dream, if you do not know, is a wonderful charity that gets gently used and sometimes actually brand new costumes that like retailers were going to throw out. Puts them in the hands of children in need all over the country. They serve all 50 states now. Basically, they are an awesome group of people, and they do it all on a budget that is absolutely minuscule.
Yes.
So this $200 actually could mean a significant bump for them in their, you know what I mean?
Right.
In terms of their operating budget. Believe me, it is very, very helpful. And this is, of course, Crystal's birthday not that long ago. This is how she has chosen to celebrate her birthday.
Yes.
Crystal, ever the generous
God. 3 days left.
3 days left. What are we at on the total, by the way?
125 out of 200. So we just need 75 to make it.
All right. That shouldn't be a problem. I know you guys are a generous crowd. So please, chip in. I'll have the link in the show notes at hauntweekly.com. Or if you are friends with Crystal, you can just go to her profile and you'll see it there.
Yep.
On that note, we do have conference reminders. Even though we were discussing a conference that happened, there are other conferences, as I've been informed.
Yes, they are coming up soon.
So I will kick this one off. I didn't start last time because my voice was hurting.
Okay.
So it's only fair that I would pick up this one. On that note, it is coming up March 1st through the 3rd. It's the Maze Corn Party. The Maze Chicago Corn Party in Chicago, Illinois. Started off with a rocking intro, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Great job. It's at the Chicago Marriott Southwest at Burr Ridge. They'll be touring Coupler's Family Farm, Jonamac Orchard, Go Bears, and more. Learn more details about it at The Maze, that's T-H-E-M-A-I-Z-E, ha-ha, funny.com.
All right.
TheMaze.com, yes.
Yes. And then March 22nd through the 25th, it's Trans World's Halloween and Attraction Show in St. Louis, Missouri, the America Center. They will have a pre-convention bus tour visiting Nashville Nightmare and Talon Falls. It also offers a voodoo soiree on Saturday night And you can find out more about all the goings-on there at Haashow, HAASHOW.com.
All right, following that is the West Coast Haunters Convention in Portland, Oregon. It's April 13th through the 15th at the Doubletree Hotel, Portland. Includes the Nightmare After West Coast Haunters Convention Film Festival, which will have a surprise selection of movies. Learn more at hauntersconvention.com.
Then, May 18th through the 20th, Atlantic City, New Jersey will have Halloween Show and National Haunters Convention presents Halloween Boardwalk Empire. That will be at the Showboat Convention Center. Features zombie volleyball, a hearse show, a costume ball, and much more, which you can find out about at HalloweenShow.com.
And then May 25th through the 27th, it's Midwest Haunters Convention in Columbus, Ohio. At the Greater Columbus Convention Center, not the Lesser Columbus Convention Center. No, only the greater one for us. It'll be featuring a masquerade party, a zombie walk, a pre-convention bus tour with haunts to be determined. Learn more at MidwestHauntersConvention.com.
And that's also,
okay, man.
If you have any other conferences that are coming up and you want to be added to the list, be sure to contact us.
Yes.
We will be adding in June soon.
Yes.
So make
probably
sure
June, probably all of summer, so. June, July, and maybe even August.
Okay, that's fine. But be sure to get those conferences to us.
Yes, get the conferences to us if we have not gotten to you in the past. Like I said, we know there's some upcoming dates we're going to be discussing already. We've already got a few lined up that we're adding to the show notes. But yeah, definitely, if you have a show, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, Facebook Messenger is probably the best way to get in touch with us.
Yes.
Well, on that note, folks, HauntCon is in the books. Well, technically, the Halloween Party Expo has like another hour as of this recording.
Right. It's in the books for us.
For us, it's in the books. But we've done all we're going to do with it this year, I think. But I got to say, it was a great conference. I had an amazing time this year. I think having it in New Orleans was a major boost for this, because a lot of people who have not been to a HauntCon in a while made the trip down for this one.
Exactly. A lot of people, this was their first time, and New Orleans is a fun city to visit.
Yes. There are about, if you go to Haunters Hangout or any of the major haunt groups on Facebook, there's like a bajillion photos of Haunters doing New Orleans things.
Yes. Which is awesome, because I like more Haunters in my city.
It was really frustrating for me, because Thursday, we had to work.
We did.
We were both working.
Yeah.
And so we're all checking our Facebook on our phones or our computers or whatever, and we're seeing all of our Haunter friends having such a great time in this city. It's like, I want to play.
Exactly.
I felt like the kid who was grounded.
Exactly. That's exactly what it felt like. I'm like,
my mom, can I go play with the Haunters?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Everyone was having such a great time. There are millions of photos from the French Quarter, a million people doing awesome things, and I was stuck in work and not able to get out.
Right.
It was frustrating.
It was.
It was. But still, I guess the best way for us to discuss HauntCon for us is going to be to take it just kind of day by day, blow by blow.
Yeah.
And then with the time that remains, we'll do a more holistic wrap-up, I guess.
Right.
We didn't super plan this episode.
No.
And this is one of our less planned shows, and it may come across, so just to be warned about that one.
Right.
But, yeah. Also, it's one thing to note, this was, even though we've been to HauntCon multiple times before, this is our first time at the Halloween and Party Expo.
Yes.
We'll talk about that in great detail later.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we'll also have thoughts about the merger of those two events. And how much sense it does or does not make, ultimately, I think, is something we're going to have to discuss. But anyways, day by day, blow by blow, for us, HauntCon kicked off Thursday night.
Yes. We actually hosted an event in the French Quarter at Bar Mon Cher.
Now, Bar Mon Cher is an awesome bar, real fast. I want to talk about this place. Because we had to have it there. Thursday night's their goth night.
Right.
So the music is going to be perfect for a bunch of haunty people.
Right. And it's got the purple lights on, it's all spooky.
It's a renovated mansion, actually, French Quarter mansions.
Yeah.
Three stories that only two floors are used for the bar.
Right.
I don't know if they live on the third floor or whatever, if it's residential.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure about that. But anyways, the point of the matter is the first two floors are available for people's, and we stayed mostly on the first floor because, frankly, that spiral staircase scares the ever-loving hell out of me.
Well, and the other thing is the dance floor is upstairs, and sometimes it's just too loud to hold a conversation.
Yeah, a lot of times.
Yeah.
It seems like goth night, the volume seems to change a little bit. I can't quite nail it down. Like, we've been up there a few times, and it's just been very chill. And, yeah, you can go there, and you can dance, and it's loud enough to dance. But you can go the next room over and just mingle.
Right.
But sometimes, yeah, you ain't doing that.
Right.
So, but they had a very beautiful courtyard slash back room area on the first floor that was the great place to meet. And I gotta say, you guys gave us a freaking heart attack.
Yeah.
Because we got there at a little bit after 8:30. We were a few minutes late.
Yeah.
Due to parking and other difficulties. But got there, and no one was around. We got our drinks, we set up, and then we waited.
Uh-huh.
And then we waited. And then we waited. And then at 9 p.m., the floodgates opened, and everyone showed up at once.
Yep.
I guess they returned from the bus tours, my suspicion.
Yeah, tours did run a little long. The bus that Sylvia was on, which, hi, Sylvia, we were really happy to meet you in person.
Yes, more on you in a minute. on Sylvia in a minute.
Yeah. So basically one of the buses, an owl flew into the windshield.
Yeah, it seems coincidentally, not just Sylvie, but most of the people we knew were on bus number 3.
Yeah, they
were. Which it figures we would know the kids at the back of the bus.
Exactly.
Even the bus line. It makes perfect sense.
It does.
But yeah, an owl apparently flew into it on the way out to Demented Design Studios,
right,
is my understanding. And there's a lot of photos of it on the internets right now.
Yeah.
That owl did a pretty good job.
It did.
It did not give its life for nothing.
No.
When it hit that bus, it took out a huge chunk of the windshield, it looks like, and really starred it mightily. So,
yeah.
Epic effort by the owl. But yes, everyone showed up, and we got to meet just so many people that we've interacted with. The people from Hot Topic Radio were there.
Right.
A lot of the people we've had on this podcast, Sylvia, like you said, was there. Brooke was there.
Right.
God, I know I'm forgetting people already.
Yeah, Timmy.
Timmy!
Hi, Timmy!
Oh, hi, Timmy! Yes. How dare I forget Timmy?
Yes.
Oh, God. I'm losing it.
Yeah. Yeah, but, so not only did we get to meet people that we had been talking to online and interviewing on this podcast, but we also got to make a lot of new friends.
Yes.
The networking was really good this year, I think.
Oh, yes. And I gotta say, Bar Montreal, the vibe there when everyone was hanging out was amazing.
Yeah.
I think this is like what every haunter gathering should be like.
Yeah.
It was enough people that we could network and form multiple groups and multiple conversations,
right,
but not overwhelming.
Yeah.
You didn't feel like you were in a room with hundreds of people and like you're just gonna stay reclusive with the people you do know.
Yeah.
It was like the perfect size. I mean, I was really blown away by how the biggest problem was we bought way too goddamn much king cake.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we got a good deal on that king cake. We're not, like, upset about it.
No.
But it was just like, yeah, we had a good crowd, but, yeah, that was way too much goddamn king cake.
Well, we didn't know everybody was going to eat right before.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. We kind of said, if everyone had been really hungry, it would have been the perfect amount.
Or had saved. Well, and we should have known, because New Orleans, you go out to eat for dinner, you're not going to leave hungry.
No.
It's not something that happens here.
We're not a town. The cuisine in this town does not lend itself to going out to eat, saving room, and having dessert elsewhere.
No, not really.
When you're shoveling your red beans and rice and other New Orleans traditions down your throat, you're not going to have room for dessert elsewhere.
No.
It's just the truth. I mean, so, yeah, we had a great time, though, hanging out. I hope the people at Bar Montcher had fun with the king cake after we left.
Yeah.
Because basically what happened is we were going to take it and take it to the talk.
Right.
Take what was left to the talk, which I'm glad we didn't try that because there was no place for it.
Yeah.
It was problem one. My problem two was, like, as we're getting ready to leave, downpour.
Yeah.
Just downpour.
Yeah.
So we're like, fuck!
Yeah.
We're not getting, because we're parked like 6 blocks.
Yeah, I was not in an outfit that was carrying king cake in the rain.
No. Someone should write a song about the cake in the rain, though.
They should. There should it be sounds a, like a good
that
idea.
That sounds like an idea for a song. I just, no one will ever do it. And definitely not name it in after a park or anything. But anyways,
no, it would be too absurd.
It's just absurdist. Oh, well, anyways. But so hope that the people of Bar Montcher, the other people not with us, did enjoy the king cake. We left it there for the bar and for goth night. Because king cake at a goth night just makes sense in New Orleans. It really does, actually. I'm not kidding. I don't mean that sardonically.
King cake anywhere makes sense in New Orleans for the, during season.
For the next
season.
Few weeks, yeah.
Yeah. So during season.
Yeah, for the next few weeks, it makes perfect sense no matter where it goes, really.
Yeah.
But God, that was such an awesome night. It got me so pumped and so amped for HauntCon.
Right.
And basically, you know, we got there a little, we got there early on the next night. And I gotta say, if I'm going to have my gripes about HauntCon, the way intake was handled would be probably one of the top ones. It wasn't like a huge problem. I don't want to like blow it out of proportion because yeah. This is one of those deals where it's like even like the minor gripes are going to sound huge because we had such a great time.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is that as signage and information about where to go and how to get checked in and that kind of stuff was really the issue.
It was lacking.
Yeah.
Because the parking lot, and I recognize most people attending HauntCon were not commuters.
Right.
We were the 1% that commuted. But parking for HauntCon and parking for the convention center in general is way the hell goddamn by, I think, I and J.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, HauntCon itself was at D, B, D, C, and B mostly.
And these are halls.
Yeah, these are halls. Yeah. So that basically, if you didn't go to HauntCon, the convention center in New Orleans is, I would say, half a mile long, three quarters.
Yeah.
I think they said, no, they said it was over a kilometer long, which made it over half a mile.
Yeah.
So basically, we're at one side, and HauntCon is pretty close to the other.
Yeah.
So you're staring at a damn good half mile walk or so.
Mm-hmm.
Between the two. And there was very limited signage as to where it was. We didn't know which hall it was in until we got inside and we got partway down.
Right. And yeah, it's 11 blocks. So basically we started at one end and walked all the way
to the other.
Pretty much.
Almost to the other. So I would say we walked probably, I would say, 7 or 8 of those blocks.
Yeah, and didn't see any signs about where to go until we got closer.
Yeah. And then eventually there were some overhead signs saying, go to Hall D.
Yeah.
And so we went to D, and then we got there, and there was no obvious registration set up.
Right.
We're really like, okay, where do we register?
Yeah.
And we see the trade show floor, and we see people guarding it.
Yeah.
And by guarding, I mean,
there were people standing in uniform outside of it.
I'm front of it looking at badges. And it's like, okay, where do we go to check in? Because it can't be through there because you have to have a badge to get in there.
Right.
Where do I get my... No, that is where you go.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that is where you go.
Right.
So that part was confusing. And then when we checked in, I didn't get a speaker ribbon, which I know is like the pettiest thing to complain about. Like, literally name something pettier to complain about. I dare you to find something. They only had the off-brand water on the table for the speakers. They didn't have Evian or that natural crap they've been selling in Silicon. What the hell that is? I don't even know. Yeah, like I haven't. Like anyone's giving me anything high class.
The people running the actual registration booth could have used a little more training because we also didn't get our booklets to show us where the classes actually were.
Yeah.
That
said about the second scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
Which is trying to find the classrooms. Now, if you know where the classrooms are, once you figure out how to get there, it's easy.
Yeah.
But there was no big sign pointing to the escalator saying class is this way. We knew they were upstairs. We went up the wrong escalators.
We went up the one that was closest to the trade show floor.
Yeah. Not the one that was just a little further down from it.
Right.
And the result of that was we got to explore the second level of the convention center a lot.
Yes. There are scary parts of that.
Yes, there are.
There would be a good shoot for a horror movie there.
Yes, there are. And there's one part where we're on the skywalk above the trade show floor. And I'm not agoraphobic or anything. I actually, you know, I'm very cool and comfortable in high places. I climb ladders and stuff all the time. But if I had even the tiniest bit of agoraphobia, that would have done it.
Yeah.
That would have triggered it because that is a scary place to look through the glass. Cause it's all glass walls.
Yeah.
And you're looking down over this mammoth show floor.
Yeah. It was a nice view.
It was a very good view. It was actually very interesting. And I wish I had paused a minute to actually map out where everything is and where I went.
Yeah, but we had to find our class.
Well, we were rushing to class. We didn't have time. And I don't think we found that walk again. But anyways. I'm sure we could have, but we didn't invest the time in doing it.
Exactly.
But the result of it was we found the classes just before they started. So signage was probably the biggest actual issue with the conference, I think.
Right.
And part of it is just because it was so big in terms of space and layout,
yeah,
it would have been very difficult to put signs absolutely everywhere any idiot like us could have found themselves.
Well, yeah, because that's probably true.
Here's the rules. If you have a single nail or screw sticking out in your haunt, I'll be the one to find it.
Yep.
I apparently have a very high iron diet and I'm magnetic, and I attract all the sharp bits. Believe me, if you have just one, I'll find it on a casual walkthrough of your haunt.
Yeah.
Because like with Eddie at the Chamber of Horrors, when we were getting the preview there, they'd gone through it so many times pulling out nails and screws.
Yeah.
I go through casually, just sort of examining stuff. I put my hand once on the wall to brace myself.
Yeah.
Find a nail.
Yep.
So that's me. That's my magic
power.
They took care of it immediately. They were on it while we were still there.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's my superpower. I will find new ways to get lost and new ways to find the dangerous stuff.
Yeah.
I am that guy. So, yeah, but the result of that is I grant it would have been difficult to do, but still, there was more that could have been done. Like a big sign at the bottom of the escalators, you should be going up, would have been a big help. I didn't see a sign there.
No, and the people standing down there in uniform were not holding signs either.
No. I think that would have helped this way to education.
Being very helpful. Yeah.
Yeah, basically. Would have been a huge help.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we got to our 9:30 a.m. technically class on Friday.
Yeah.
And it was by Dana Martin, it was called To Pay or Not To Pay Actors.
Yeah.
I think we were in that one together, right?
We were. And we were in a lot of them together because we seemed to pick the same track.
Well, And look, this is not a criticism for the record.
No.
What I'm about to say is not meant as a criticism. It's meant as an observation only. A lot of the talks have been done before.
Yeah.
And us having now been to a few haunt cons and to a few other conventions like Halloween and Haunt Fest, we've seen a lot of the talks we really wanted to see.
Right.
So new talks that really click with us are getting fewer and fewer.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying they should change that. I mean, look, I gave the same talk I gave 2 years ago and the same talks I gave at Halloween and Haunt Fest.
Right.
I'm part of the problem. If this is a problem, I'm a contributor to it.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to blast anyone here.
Right.
I'm definitely going to come up with a new talk for the next convention I go to, though.
Yeah.
I may still do the copyright and trademark one.
Yeah.
Just because that one is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to keep putting it out there, but the second talk I may change out.
Yeah.
So basically, if you didn't see the website talk, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Anyways. Quite a few people showed up.
Yeah, that was a very popular talk.
Yeah.
But yeah, that talk was actually really interesting. Even if it was a little frustrating in places.
Yeah.
Because she said things like, you know, you can't have, if you do a volunteer haunt, don't expect to get a lot of kids. Don't expect to get a lot of adults.
Yeah.
And our crew would like to talk to you about that.
Yeah. But
our crew would like a word with you.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it is true for people who are running a much bigger volunteer haunt.
And running it for longer, more to the season.
Right.
We're only open 3 to 4 nights.
Yeah.
And that makes it easier for adults to volunteer. In fact, most of our volunteers are adults who would like to volunteer at a seasonal haunt.
Or work there,
but can't put in the time commitment. They have day jobs. They can only get 1 or 2 nights off, maybe.
Exactly.
But, you know, that's our ideal volunteer.
Yeah.
So I recognize we're the exception on that one. But yeah, so for us and what we do, it wasn't maybe the most helpful dialogue because our situation is a little unique as home haunters.
Right.
But anyway, and she said also one thing that you can't control. She said that one of the advantages of paying is that you have more control over haunters.
Right.
And then said it's harder to keep them from doing things you don't like. I don't know if I understood that.
Yeah.
I was a little bit perplexed by that.
But it was an interesting conversation.
It was.
And it sparked future conversations between us.
Yes, and that was the thing. I think more than anything, that was a conversation starter talk.
Right.
It was not really meant to be an end-all, be-all.
Yeah.
Which I don't see how you could have an end-all be-all on the volunteer versus paid.
Right. And one, real quick, one other reason that we were in a lot of the same classes together is because there wasn't pretty much an escape room track.
Yeah.
And since we don't do escape rooms, we didn't really go to those.
Yeah.
Because we didn't see where we could implement that.
Agreed. Yeah. The escape, we didn't do anything on the escape room track at all, I don't think.
Yes.
After that, we did split up, though.
Mm-hmm.
And you went to Margie Kerr's thing.
Yes.
And I went to the Haunted Farms of America, the people behind it. I am not even going to attempt to pronounce their names.
Yeah.
They have said it so many times to my face. I'm not going to butcher it. Haunted Farms of America, the two wonderful people behind it.
Yeah.
Alexis and Benjamin. How about we leave it at that?
That sounds good.
They are wonderful people. They did a panel. They hosted a panel about the state of haunted farms. And I actually learned a great deal from that talk that was very interesting to learn. And one thing I did not know was just how uncommon it actually still is for there to be haunted farms.
Mm-hmm.
Only, I think they said only 1.5% of farms do any kind of real agro entertainment.
Right.
And I thought that was pretty interesting, or any kind of haunted entertainment, definitely. And it's like, wow, this is potentially a new revenue generator. Farms are struggling. And one of the things they talked about was how this has saved a lot of farms.
Yeah.
You have these family farms that might be in danger of going under. And they do, you know, haunted entertainment. And they're back. You know, they're back to profitable. So, yeah, that's one thing they talked about, was that it's really a way to keep these farms. Timmy was there, was one of the panelists on it.
Right.
And he told a story about his barn falling down.
Yeah.
Basically, he paid a guy to put a barn up on the property, and then the barn fell down in a storm, like either right before season or right after opening. I can't remember which it was.
Uh-huh.
And he basically called the Haunted Farms of America people. They're consultants that help with this. And they helped work together, and they got a crew out there, and they got that barn back up, man.
Well, that was good that they were able to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, he told that story.
Well, and even going to the little one near here.
Yeah.
The little corn maze and
Cajun corn maze, I think.
Yes.
I got the order of operations there, right?
I think so. I mean, they had a lot of people there, and I can see how it'd be profitable.
Yeah. And that was a fairly small event.
Yeah.
In the big scheme of things. That one had a lot of people at it. It was doing some swift business, I could tell.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but that was a really interesting talk. Now, tell me about Margie Kerr's thing.
Okay, so hers was scared senseless, activating and manipulating our senses for the best scare. And basically, it was how you can play with the different senses, you know, mm-hmm. smell, sight, touch, in order to throw people's perception of what's going to happen off. And it was a very interesting idea. And she also went into how, you know, a no-touch haunt could play with the sensation of touch by letting the brain fill in the touch that's going to happen. The anticipation of the touch.
We have to watch Rocky Horror tonight.
Okay. You know, fills in that, and it's something unique. She also talked about how smells can be overwhelming and take you out of a scene completely.
Yeah.
And how new smells, like if you're in a city location like we are,
mm-hmm.
and you put in the smell of hay that a lot of your customers aren't familiar with, then that will make that memory more vivid and more detailed, and they will remember you better next year.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be a gross smell in order to get a deeper connection to your haunt.
And you know, it's interesting that because I was just thinking about 13th Gate plays around a lot with smells locally.
Right.
And they have the London scene, which has some pretty putrid smells.
Yes.
And I'm sitting there ranting off the Foggy's Fog, the ones they're using.
Yeah.
Because everyone has, I'm pretty sure damn near everyone in the haunt community has had Tater shoving something underneath their nose.
At some point.
Rotting flesh, here you go!
Yes.
We've all had that happen to us if we go to the conferences. You know what I'm talking about. Love you, Tater, but dear Jesus, man. Sweet Jesus, dude.
I didn't see that going on as much this year.
No, it did not happen a lot this year. They had a very limited presence, and we'll get to the trade show floor in a minute. But anyways, but my favorite use of smell there actually is in the ice cave when they have the smell. Not only do they have the temperature way down,
right?
But they have the a very faint smell. I'm trying to even describe it.
Like frost burn?
Yeah, but it's exactly. It smells like freezer burn.
Yeah.
And that's very well put. Because I can't pinpoint it, but it's subtle and it makes you feel. Because they don't crank the temperature down that low.
No.
It does, they don't really. Maybe it's a degree or two colder in there, really. And it's mostly fans that do it, not actual AC. But it makes you feel cold.
Right.
When you smell it. It's such a weird thing.
Yeah, my favorite's the cotton candy.
Yeah.
And there. Whenever there's going to be clowns around.
But yeah. So, yeah, that's a good point. And by the way, we picked up a copy of her book.
Yes, we did.
And we introduced her to our girlfriend, Ellie.
Yes.
Because, like I said, we have a talk coming about Aphantasia. It's something that's really been exciting us.
Yeah.
In a very weird way. It's a very weird thing to get us excited about. But we're going to do that talk, that episode, probably 113 now, because news is coming up next.
Right.
And then we'll probably finally get around to it. It's a topic we've been really interested in for a while now. But yeah, we did those talks, and then we had a break. We went to the trade show floor.
Yes.
Now, the trade show floor is different this year. HauntCon had 55 vendors, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
It did not feel like 55 vendors. How's that?
Yeah, but the demarcation between where HauntCon ended and Halloween and Party Expo began was, you could easily wander in and out without realizing it.
Yeah.
I'll just put it that
way. And HauntCon literally was the corner of the trade show floor. It was admittedly a front corner, and that was in a way kind of nice, because once you knew where it was, you could easily slip in and out of it.
Right.
But yeah, it kind of felt like you could tell that trade show floor was the stepchild.
Yeah.
Was the younger sibling, if you will.
Yeah.
And then there was this, I have nothing to liken the size of the trade show floor for Halloween Party Expo, other than saying it wasn't as big as South by Southwest.
Right.
But it felt as big.
Yeah, it did. And it was interesting to see both side by side.
Yeah.
Because mainly on the HauntCon side, you would have booths of handmade goods.
Yes.
There were some that were more technical,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of it was handmade goods.
And the thing about it was, a lot of people would go to Halloween and Party Expo instead of HauntCon, or go in addition to HauntCon, they bounce between them. Like, I know when HauntCon was in Baton Rouge, a lot of people bounced between them.
Right.
Because they were close enough and they overlapped. And they almost always overlapped.
Mm-hmm.
But the complaint everyone had was they'd go to Halloween Party Expo, they'd see all this cool stuff.
Yeah.
And then say, oh, I'd like to buy that mask or whatever.
Right.
Oh, well, minimum order is 1,000.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. And basically what they did this year, since they were co-locating them, was they went through and asked all the vendors if any of them would be willing to be retail friendly.
Right.
And basically the idea is they would sell individual items or small number quantities of items,
mm-hmm.
but at a slightly increased markup, an increased markup. And 65 vendors did say they would be willing to be retail friendly.
Right.
And we did. That's a small percentage of the floor, though, ultimately.
It is a small percentage of the floor. We did find a few others that had low entry prices that did not have the sign.
Yeah.
Like, I bought a corset from someone who was willing to sell me one instead of...
Yeah.
And what she did was basically sold me it at half of retail. So more than what a retailer would pay.
More than wholesale.
More than wholesale, but less than what I would pay
somewhere
online.
Somewhere in between, somewhere in between those two. So you're still getting some great savings.
Yeah.
And you've also bought a whole bunch of other clothes from another store. But basically, the minimum buy-in was like $100.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's nothing. I mean, even at their wholesale prices, really nice clothing.
Yeah.
Their wholesale prices, that was like two or three items.
Yeah, I think I got six.
Items for about 200?
Yeah.
So, some sexy, sexy goth clothing for Crystal coming our way hopefully
Yay.
Soon. I'm very excited about this, if you know what I mean. Wank, wank, nudge.
God.
Okay.
So, but most of the booths sold generic costumes.
Yeah.
There were several booths that looked like they are where spirit stores go to get their
stuff,
things
yeah.
that they sell. In fact, there was some controversy over one of those
yeah.
animatronics.
That happened that Friday, actually. It began.
Yeah.
It was on Haunter's Hangout. Apparently, I can't remember which major prop maker it was, did a prop design, though, of a zombie that's, like, perched and a fan blowing in its face. And you go back and you look at the original video. It looks kick-ass.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way to else describe. I can't remember who it was. It's going to hit me in a minute. But one of the vendors there was selling the spiritized version of it,
yeah.
I guess you would say. It wholesaled for $115. So I'm going to assume the retail will be $250 to $300-ish.
Yeah.
But it looked god-awful.
Well, not only that, but, you know, we've bought spirit things before
Jesus
in the
Christ.
Past, a long time ago.
Yeah, in the other years, in the dark times.
Back when we were first starting 14 years ago
yeah.
and didn't know what we were doing,
yeah.
we bought a couple of props and they lasted. So a few years later, we bought one and it didn't make it even to season.
Yeah.
You know, basically when we got it home, it was broken. And
yeah.
so we don't buy that stuff and it seems to be cheaply
yeah.
made.
Yeah. If you're a haunter at this point in the game, there's only two strategies for getting these kinds of props. One is to make it yourself.
Right.
And the other is to go to any of the handful of really reputable prop vendors that are out there, or to turn to, like, Fright Catalog or something
yeah.
and get it. Because spirit and the retail market for these types of props is just crap.
Yeah. It's fine for people that want to throw a party, but it's not fine for haunters.
Yeah, exactly.
Except for maybe their skeletons after season when they're
yeah.
like
oh,
20
God,
bucks.
Oh, God, yes. Well, yeah.
So.
We do that. I mean, that's the point. It's not to say we don't buy anything from spirit.
Yeah.
We buy a fair amount of stuff on November 1st. We buy fog juice and things like that.
Yeah. Well, not fog juice.
Not fog juice so much, but light bulbs.
Yeah.
We do their specialty light
yeah,
bulbs.
Yeah, because we can't make light bulbs.
Yeah. We can make a lot of things. We cannot make light bulbs yet.
Yeah.
But yeah. So anyways, after some time on the trade show floor, we're really obviously interested in this. We're running out of time.
Yeah.
Okay. we went to, I think we split up again, didn't we?
Possibly.
I think we did. I'm trying to remember the... Oh, no. We both went to the If You Build It, Now Make Them Come by Warren Maxwell of Third Degree of Terror.
Yes. Awesome dude.
Awesome guy. My God, this dude is incredible.
Really nice guy.
He didn't even get mad at me when I completely whiffed on who he was for a moment. It was day three. I was brain dead.
And he wasn't in his shirt.
He was not in his shirt. I totally whiffed on who he was, but no, he's an awesome dude. He runs an awesome looking home haunt. He showed some photos of it. My God.
Yeah.
I've been impressed with some of those sets in a pro haunt. And
yeah.
his facade is amazing too. And he does this very smart thing of keeping a theme for 2 years.
Right.
Which.
Yeah. That
don't
be
you
nice.
Wish we were that foresightful?
Yeah. we change it every year. 2 years would give us time to perfect it right before we tear it down.
Exactly. But no, we're too stupid for that. We do a new theme every year.
Yeah.
But he talked, basically it was a marketing talk. And me going to a marketing talk may not be the wisest thing for me sometimes.
Right.
Because I have a marketing background. My degree isn't in
right.
advertising.
Yeah.
Planning media campaigns is literally what I did for my senior project in
right.
college. You know, so I'm very familiar with this stuff already. And if you are new to marketing, if you are new to promotion,
yeah.
that was a great talk. And he targeted at home haunters.
Yeah.
Honestly, a lot of that I think applies to pro haunts too.
Yeah.
I think it's a good talk for anyone. But yeah, for me, it felt, from my background, it felt bare bones.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not his fault. It's a bare bones talks are very important.
Yeah.
But yeah, he had And it basically
well,
what
I, and it was advertised as a beginner's
talk.
It was advertised
appropriately.
Yeah.
And I knew that I was probably going to wind up thinking that.
Yeah.
But still, it was a great talk, a good overview of the types of things you have to do. And one thing I did like is his handout.
Yeah.
Has, and this is something I may actually be using, the schedule for when you should do these things.
Right.
Because I admit I am bad at making checklists for marketing.
Right.
That is a weakness.
Yeah, and he did have a few good points that I really enjoyed, and a couple of sites to help you get onto listings and things.
Yes, I imagine you're going to check those out because...
Yeah,
because
I've got them in my notes here, and I'm looking at them now, and I'm like, yeah,
there's still some great resources. A lot of great resources there. Definitely worth checking out.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we went to this weird talk by Jonathan Bailey. Oh my God, they misspelled my damn name. I just now realized that.
They did it once on one of them.
But not the other.
Yes. Yes. I noticed that whenever I was looking it up Friday.
God. Yeah, the talk was how to make a website that sells your haunt. Talk went very well, I think. It was a surprisingly well attended. I was not sure how this talk would go over.
Yeah, in fact, right before, you said, I'm not giving this talk again. There's like three people here, and then the room filled up.
Then like, once again, what is it with Haunter showing up at the last goddamn minute?
No, it's the universe trying to prove you wrong, dear. Yeah,
I said, you know what, I don't know if this talk should do this talking, because I did it at Halloween and Haunt Fest to an audience of three.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, maybe the interest in this topic isn't that great, because the copyright talk was reasonably well attended there.
Yeah.
And this one, it ended up being the reverse. But no, did the talk, everyone appreciated it, it seemed to get high marks in the reviews.
Yeah.
Happy about it, gonna leave it there.
Yep.
Not much else to say about it. I'll probably post the slides. I'll post the PDF of the slides in the show notes. I'll upload it.
Okay.
Somewhere and post them. And for both talks I did, I'll put the PDF of the slides. We did not record either presentation.
Right. My camera broke.
Yes. We.
I have to send it off to Canon to get it fixed.
The sensor is bad.
Yeah.
And it's the weirdest goddamn thing. And we put it in a bag. We have not used it much since season.
Right.
We used it a little bit in October.
Yeah, we used it to record some reviews.
In October and November.
Yeah.
And it was fine. And actually in December too, we recorded more. So it was good all the way up until the new year, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then we pulled it out just after a few weeks in storage.
Yeah.
Went to pull it out and use it, and boop, sensor wasn't working. Weirdest goddamn thing.
Yeah.
And let's see, after that, I'm trying to remember what we did.
I have Daryl Plunkey's haunt.
Yes, we both went to that.
For the five or more senses.
Yes, we went to that, yes.
Yeah.
Our notes are split up. It's one of the reasons we sound a little bit unsure. That's from Daryl Plunkey from Hot Topic Radio. Hi, Daryl. How's it going?
Yeah.
Great talk. Very interesting topic. More of a getting you to think talk.
It tied a lot into Margie Cares.
Yeah, I wish I'd been at Margie's talk because...
Yeah.
You know, those two seem like they really would have gone hand in hand.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically he... But he had a lot of ideas for how to play with the senses and trick the senses.
Right.
For example, using bright lights to make people see a negative image.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, I don't know how in favor of that one I am, because I hate strobes with such a passion.
Yes.
That popping me with a bright light might be a way, you know, just to tick me off rather than make me admire the cool effect.
Right.
So, anyway, but still, the point
strobes
remains.
Strobes aren't for everyone.
Yeah, not for everyone. All right. So,
yeah.
Saturday... We got there late.
Yeah, maybe.
We got there a little late. Honestly, that was the day of the ball. We did not... Friday, by the way, was also the day of the ball. We did not go to the ball. We were planning on going to it. It sounds like it was a great time. Everyone seemed to have a good time. But we got home. We learned about the camera not working.
Right.
We ended up dealing with that, getting food. And when we just... All that stress and everything with the camera...
Yeah, I was really upset.
I should say you learned about the camera at my talk, but it not working at my talk.
Right.
And then we were dealing with the support and all that and what to do with it. We tried doing a few additional things, updating the firmware. We were trying to make it work. Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Got upset. Now, luckily, you have a backup camera.
Yeah.
That's just a lower version of it, but still.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we just ended up not going. The mood was not right. We were too dead.
Mm-hmm.
And we just ended up basically calling it a night. We hung around here. We watched Six String Samurai, I believe it was, that night. Which, by the way, bizarre as hell movie. Worth checking out. And that was it. And like I said, we got there late on Saturday. We just, like I said, we had a hard time getting moving that morning. Mm-hmm. And for our first talk, I'm trying to remember where we went. We went to, you went to the A Cut Above the Rest workshop with Chris Screws. And I did the Creating Memorable First and Last Impressions with Scott Sterner at Six Flags.
Right.
And it was very interesting. I never really... one thing I don't think of when I think of theme park haunts like Six Flags and they do their Halloween thing and like Universal and all that, one word that has never entered my mind is budget.
Yeah.
I've never thought about the word budget in context of those haunts. And he talks about that they are under dire budget constraints. They're under pretty strict ones. And so they have to make very careful, planned decisions where to invest the money, where to put their best actors. They have like 200, they have hundreds of actors, but they only have enough makeup people to spend time on a couple of them.
Right.
So they talked about their 5-minute ghoul versus their 45-minute ghoul, where they put them, how they use them, and so forth. And basically, like, if they have an attraction, whether it's a maze or an actual traditional attraction, you're going to see a lot of money in the facade.
Right.
You're going to see a lot of money in the first room, maybe the first two rooms. And then they're going to spend as little as they can on the middle.
Yeah.
And then a bang at the end.
Right. Well, and that goes back to traditional thoughts on how to build your haunt.
Exactly.
You make it impactful at the beginning and end because nobody's going to remember the middle.
Exactly. So that's exactly what they do. And it was very interesting to hear that discussed and talk about what they do and how they're trying to upgrade it with time. Because one of the things they're really big on right now is trying to take their scare zones and much more clearly demark them. Since they have this big, huge theme park, but of course the entire thing isn't Halloweenified. It's only certain sections.
Right.
One of the things they're working on is having giant props to visually indicate, okay, I need to go over there for the next scare zone.
Right.
To help people navigate this space.
That makes a lot of sense.
It does. It was a very cool talk. I don't know how useful it is for what we do, but it was a very interesting talk, and it got me thinking about some of I'd never thought about these challenges in the context of these types of haunts. I just assumed they like just threw money down a well at these. It never really hit me that they probably do have budget issues.
Yeah. Well, that's because it's such a big company that you just really don't think about that.
And of course, Chris Screws, great guy, great hands-on workshop. Unfortunately, we were a bit confused about that one and did not do the materials fee.
Right.
So, but you were able to watch most of it and hang out and chill and see how it was done. So that was cool.
I watched until I was asked for the fourth time if I was there for the class by the person running it. So.
But anyways.
But he has agreed to be on the podcast in the future.
Well, we will probably be speaking with Chris Screws sometime in the not too distant future. And that takes us to the after work class. I think we spent most of the day there really just trying to get through the trade show floor.
Yeah.
That is one thing, because it used to be with HauntCon, the trade show floor was not the best part.
Correct.
Let's be honest. It was good. It had a lot of interesting things, had a lot of cool people, but it was not the highlight.
Yeah.
Now the trade show floor is a much bigger focus. And you need a significant... I mean, we spent probably 6 to 8 hours between the 3 days on that trade show floor.
Yeah.
I'm still not convinced we saw everything and everyone.
I know we didn't.
I know we didn't. I'm going to throw this out, though. The barbecue that was on the trade show floor was fucking horrible.
Yes. Okay, so for next year's, headed to Orleans, New Orleans...
Yes.
We will put a list of all of the restaurants that are within a block or two of the convention center.
Yes.
Because we actually just went out most days.
Yeah. There was a neat little... Now, Friday for lunch, by the way, our friend Kyle told us about this.
Right.
There's a place called Butcher.
Yes.
Yeah. Butcher. It was about 2 blocks up the road. It was almost directly in front of the section HauntCon was in, just in away from the river. And... goddamn good barbecue. Crowded as all hell. We had to get to go because we were not going to be able to get anything to eat there. We loved it. We tried to eat at the actual little canteen area they had at the trade show floor.
Right.
Got barbecue. regretted that decision. When ribs fall off the bone, it's either because they're cooked perfectly or they're cooked horribly.
Yeah, that was the next day at the trade show floor.
That was Saturday.
Yeah.
That was rough. So, good barbecue two blocks away.
Yes.
Not so good barbecue right there on the show.
Yeah.
But apparently other food was much better there, though, is what I understood. We just apparently had bad draw there.
Yeah.
But yeah, we spent most of the rest of the day going through the trade show floor and trying to, see everything we could there.
Mm-hmm.
We did go back and check out 3 p.m. We did, it was the Midsummer Scream guy. Voodoo Marketing
yeah, with David Markland.
Who, by the way, Midsummer Scream, a haunt we do have in our show notes and we'll be adding to the calendar.
Right.
But yeah, long and short of it is, it was an excellent talk about some marketing techniques and ideas. He talked about buttons and badges.
Right.
And things that maybe we don't think about a lot in our industry.
Yeah. Also, Daryl Plunkey over at Haunt Topic.
Oh,
they're starting the Scream badges.
Yes.
So there'll be more on that coming very soon.
Yes.
But they did talk about that. One thing, though, that Midsummer Scream David Markland talked about was having events at local places for your fans.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something, because we have a nerd bar nearby that we like,
mm-hmm.
and the owners know us, and we've had a couple of parties there, but he mentioned the idea of horror trivia night,
mm-hmm.
you know, and invite the fans of the haunt to that, and maybe bring a monster or two, you know, and this is year round.
Yeah.
To keep people
interested.
This
is June, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Or a screening, if you've got all the license release the bar does, to do a screening of a movie.
Yeah.
You know, do that and keep your fans involved, keep your actors involved in being with your fans. Make it that community that you want to build.
Exactly. That was a great idea, and that's something we may actually borrow from.
Yeah.
And then at 4:30, and we're already over on time, by the way.
Sorry.
We did Drew Dallaire at AEO Studios, Setting the Tone, auditions and training tips for non-actors. This was probably the talk that, and you know, respect to Drew, he does seem to, he's very knowledgeable about this stuff. There's no doubt about that. He knows his stuff. But this was a talk that seemed very rushed and put together at the last minute.
Yeah.
And he didn't help by the fact that he showed up 5 to 10 minutes late.
Right.
I get it. I have had talks go sideways. And I've done a lot of conference speaking. I'm not going to judge anyone by their talk going sideways.
Right.
But yeah, this just, I wasn't getting a lot from it. And unfortunately, we had somewhere else we had to be.
Yeah, because we had an event at 6.
That started at 6. And we were hoping we could... Basically, we went into that saying, okay, we're going to sit near the back. We can put off going to the other event.
Right.
But if this is really engaging, but if we, you know, if this isn't like the most amazing talk in human history, we have to go.
Yeah.
And that's where we were. And I'm sorry that we had to leave Drew. It was very interesting, and it was a good topic. But like I said, it was obviously hurriedly put together. I think if I were going to give him a suggestion next time, a little more planning, some slides.
Yeah.
Really pull this talk together. The subject is great, and some of his suggestions were very interesting.
Yeah.
The packaging wasn't where it needed to be with this talk.
Yeah.
That's all. So, yeah, but no. He definitely knows the stuff.
Right.
Okay, and then, like I said, that night, by the way, I do want to talk a little bit about that event, because we had an event that night. One of our friends is in a marching crew called Dames de Perlage.
Yes.
And basically what they do is they bead corsets.
Yeah.
Or the bustles.
Hand bead
them. And these projects take all year. This is absolutely insane, the amount of work that goes into these things.
Yeah.
I don't have this level of patience, and I build a haunted house.
Yeah.
You know? We build a haunted house, and I don't...
Yeah.
I don't have this patience. No. But anyways, they were having a debut at a museum that I did not know existed.
That's because they made it specifically for them.
Yes. It's basically a New Orleans costume museum.
Yeah.
It's all about the Mardi Gras Indians, the various Mardi Gras crews, the 610 Stompers.
Right.
It is an amazing museum.
Yeah.
It is really cool. I don't know anything about pricing. I don't know anything about the hours. But look it up, man. It is a great little museum.
Yeah.
Okay. On that note, then at 9 a.m. the next day, we went to my talk. Copyright and trademark for Haunters. And you know what? I got to say this. For 9 a.m. on day 3 of a 3-day conference, after everyone else was out at to ungodly hours going the Rise trip. I thought it was well attended.
Yeah.
And even Leonard Pickle sat in for most of it. Yes. I thought that was really cool.
Thank you, Leonard.
Thank you, Leonard. Loved having you. I'll be emailing you in a little bit, thanking you personally. But still, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Talk went well. Very happy with it. High marks, and had some really great conversation afterward. I love leaving like 10 to 15 minutes at the end for people to talk and ask questions, because that's always the best part.
Yeah.
I can make it talk good, but man, the audience makes it better.
A lot of questions during it too.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a great, great talk, I think. It went really, really well.
Yeah.
After that, we headed back to the trade show floor. Yeah. This was buying day for us.
Yes.
This was when we made all those purchases.
Yes. Yes, I had picked out everything I wanted.
On the previous 2 days, this was the day we actually made the purchases.
Yeah.
And so we did that, and we actually just hung out on the trade show floor pretty much until, you know, the very end of the day.
Yeah. Well, Ellie had come with us.
Yeah.
And she hadn't been able to go the other 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So she came and saw you talk, and then we went and bought the corsets, and
you went and made all those giant purchases.
Yeah. Well, you know. It's not that giant, but anyway, so then we got lunch, but I wasn't feeling well that entire day.
Yeah.
I didn't start feeling well until about 9 at night.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we did make it back at 3 p.m., though, to see Sylvia's talks.
And, right.
And it was about haunt auditioning.
Yeah, and she's from a petrified forest.
Yes, and she's been on the podcast. Yep. I don't remember what episode off the top of my head.
Do you want me to look it up?
Yes, please look it up.
Okay.
I'll have a stall.
Uh-huh.
And I gotta say, I love Sylvia to death. We actually ended up spending most of that evening and most of the today with her. We're recording this on Monday.
Right.
And so, love her to death. She is clearly, I don't know how she's so uncomfortable with public speaking.
Yeah, episode 74.
Episode 74, she talked. So, yeah. But once she got her into her element, once she was comfortable.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was really great, and she actually showed some auditioning exercises, and the idea behind the exercises, it would take an hour to describe the damned exercise.
Right.
But the whole point of it isn't necessarily to grade people in good or bad, it's to find, okay, these are the people that'll make great victims, these are people who make great scare actors.
Right.
And as she pointed out, quite correctly, I might add, that a person who, you know, you get this big burly dude coming in there, and yeah, he might look intimidating as all hell, but if his demeanor and if his presentation is more submissive, he might need to be someone who can be terrified.
Right.
And then he can do something like have the big burly dude terrified by a tiny child or something like that who's very, you know what I mean? You can play with it.
Right.
So yeah, just because someone looks intimidating doesn't automatically mean they're a good scare actor.
Yeah.
And then the flip side of the coin, just because someone's tiny and demure or whatever doesn't mean they automatically need to be a victim.
Right.
And then she went over an exercise in which you see how they respond to stimuli, and you can judge their personality. It's almost like a personality test.
Yeah.
And it was really, really cool and really interesting. And I'm sitting there. She had the whole class get up and do the exercise.
I actually really appreciate it because most of the time with the training actor
classes,
like
Drew's one did.
They'll only pull up 2 or 3 of the audience members.
And usually people they already know.
No.
Okay.
Well, not in the ones I've sat in at least. Anyway. But they'll pull up a few people from the audience randomly and have them do the exercise, but it doesn't include the whole class.
Yeah.
This included the whole class, which was nice.
It was nice. And it was a lot of fun, actually, to do it. I was skeptical. I'm always skeptical of those things.
Right.
But it was fun. I did enjoy myself. And, yeah, it was a very educational thing. It went about 15 minutes over.
Yeah, I was about to say, Sylvia, we're getting you his Heimer.
No, I know what I'm buying her for Christmas. But it was really a wonderful talk, and it was very interesting to hear about her method, because as she talked about on the podcast, she comes from a theater background.
Right.
And she talked a lot about the struggle about how with a theater, she has a character. She's looking for Othello. She's looking for
Right. You know, somebody that needs to portray this person has these lines and can deliver it convincingly.
Yeah, you can, in those situations, you can hand someone a script and say, read these lines.
Right.
And sort of gauge how they fit the character. With haunt acting, you don't necessarily have that. Especially in like her case, they're auditioning before the haunt's even finished.
Before they even have all their theme together.
Yeah, they don't even know what theme they're doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So she's got to find out sort of, in a general sense,
right,
what they're good at and how that changes the auditioning process. It was a very interesting talk. Mm-hmm. Had a great time. All in all, the talks were very good.
Yeah.
I think, you know, as the presenters, we need to work on ending on time in general. That was a theme throughout HauntCon.
Yeah.
Was people running over. Which, I mean, I'll say this, HauntCon did the smart thing. They left 30 minutes between talks.
Right.
Which, while that's a long time, it's better than the alternative, which is, it seems like if you leave 15 minutes, somebody goes over at 9 o'clock and the whole damn schedule is screwed up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's better than the alternative. Yeah, it was a lot of education crammed into that conference and a lot of great stuff, a lot of new talks. And I'm going to be curious to see what they do next year. It's supposed to be back in the same place next year.
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to be through 2020.
Yes.
Is what I understand. So the next 2 years, at least, will be in the same place.
Right.
If they choose to continue co-locating HauntCon and Halloween Party Expo.
Right.
Because Halloween Party Expo is the one that bought HauntCon, and Halloween Party Expo is the one with the contract for the convention center for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
So it'll be very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that is our HauntCon experience. By the way, we spent, like I said, the evening with Sylvia, hanging out, talking haunting.
Yeah.
And then we took her to a few places today. It was great fun hanging out with her. She is a force of nature.
Yeah.
That is the only way to describe her. I would kill for half her energy.
Yeah.
I don't know how she does it.
Coffee.
I don't know. She doesn't drink coffee much. But anyways, I am amazed. It was great hanging out. It was great hanging out with everyone at HauntCon.
Yes.
We saw and met so many people that we have known for, in some cases, for years now.
Right.
Internet only.
Yeah.
And now seeing them face to face, hearing them talk, or putting, in the case of like the Haunt Topic people, really putting faces to the names.
Right.
It was very, very cool. And the Damn Scary Show, too, those guys.
Mm-hmm. Big Scary Show.
I call it the Damn Scary Show every time, and I don't know why.
I don't know.
I change your name to the Damn Scary Show just to keep me from saying the wrong name.
No.
Please don't do that. The Big Scary Show.
It's not as friendly of a name as the Big Scary Show.
Not with that attitude. But anyway, it was so great. I am so overloaded meeting everyone. And then I gotta go back to work tomorrow.
Yep.
Oh, God. Oh, I'm so crazy. But anyways, on that note, everyone, thank you. I know we've run long this week. I hope it was worth it. HauntCon was amazing. I'm looking forward to it next year already.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, if you have not done so already, take the time. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Haunt Weekly. tinyurl.com/hauntweekly takes you to the YouTube page. Subscribe to us there. That way we can get a custom URL and stop using tinyurl.com/hauntweekly. We get enough subscribers. That'll be great. But until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly, episode number 111, HauntCon Wrap-Up. We will see you guys next week with the news. See you then.